Morning, everyone. God bless you. Let's go ahead and pull up the PowerPoint and we'll stand and read the word. Continuing from the subject from last week, a word family. And we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Heavenly Father, we just come to you and we want to commit this time to you, Lord. We ask that your Holy Spirit would come, take your word, break it open to our hearts, Lord. May you anoint both the speaker and the hearer, Lord. For your glory, we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So in looking at this subject, looking at a word family, is in every age, there's a reason, there's a cause for alarm, and there's also a cause for brokenness. And we're all born into families that have people who have a sinful nature in them that they're battling against. And, you know, in some ages you could go back and say, we're looking at needing to rebuke the men so hard because they're mistreating their wives. And that, though that is certainly the case in, wow, we're empty. I want to look this way, there's nobody there. But God is good. So you have a situation now where feminism has come to its final fruition, and any expression of manhood is many times, is, the world wants to suppress it, and men respond by either checking out or they respond by feminizing themselves so that they can be acceptable to what the proper expression of human life is. However, I believe a real man of God would stand up and fight. In every age and in every generation, there's a reason, there's a cause that we need to battle for. There's a message that's going forth. And you know, when there is brokenness, what happens is that brokenness too often gets passed on then to the next generation. And when that brokenness is then passed on to the next generation, what you have is another response in that. Sons will respond one way, daughters will respond another way, and at some point in time, all of us have to say, this stops here. I'm a Christian. I believe the word. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. That means I'm healed. Amen. I don't need to stand here and submit myself to perverted examples that I've had from the past, or acting out of the brokenness that I have from the past. Amen. Instead of living in that place, why don't we invite the Lord Jesus Christ into those situations that cause the brokenness? Let him come and stand with you in those situations of abuse and pain and even just the wrong example. That the Lord Jesus was there with you, if you're predestinated seed. He didn't just suddenly come upon you when you got born again. He had his hand on you before you were ever born. And he was molding and shaping you into the person that you're supposed to be. Only let him redeem you from that brokenness. And then as there is brokenness, and there's always good or bad, you know, you could be raised in a situation where it's all bad. You could be raised in a situation where it's a combination. There's some good stuff and there's some bad stuff. Or it could just be all good. I'm pretty sure that's probably not all good, because we're all dealing with parents that didn't set a perfect example, right? And so neither do we. And our children, I trust the Lord will enter into their hurts and their pains and will give them strength and deliver them, as we talked about in Overcoming Depression. We're all responsible for our own response to whatever situation we've went through. We can't, my dad was this way, my mom was this way. Certainly, that has an impact, but when you're a Christian, old things are passed away, all things are become new, so don't walk under the yoke of bondage. See, when you're not a believer, you have no choice. You're walking under the yoke of bondage. But when you become a believer, you can choose to go back and walk under this yoke. Or you can choose to walk in freedom. That's what the Holy Ghost gives us. And so I had that on my heart to start and say that. But looking at the hour that we're living in, it's time for Christian men to throw off modern culture and the feminization of everything and become real men again, unafraid. And I'll just say it this way. Our culture has trained us to be afraid of women. It's trained us we should be afraid and not, we should bow down before the idol of women. That's what it's become. But the prophet said that it becomes an idol. And it's dangerous. The only one we're worshiping should be the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And everyone else, we are serving them and loving them and giving unto them and forgiving them. But we don't have to enter ourselves under this yoke of idolatrous burden and fear. We have to become real men, real leaders. A real leader does not hurt and abuse those who he's leading. Amen. That's not leadership. That's dictatorship. And it's evil. A real leader understands that his duty is to do good to those that he's leading. Amen. To serve and care for them and provide the necessary means for them to grow spiritually. If we can understand what love is, what is ultimately love in a Christian environment? It is empowering and strengthening spiritual growth. Outside of that, that's what God is doing. So if we're standing in the way of people's spiritual growth, what is that? That's evil. So if we're damaging, hurting, and in minimizing and taking away people's spiritual growth, then that's evil. That's wickedness. But if we're living in such a way that we're helping others around us to grow in the Lord, that is real, genuine love. It's projecting something out of yourself to help them grow up in Christ. And so when you understand that as a man, as a real leader, you have that vision, you have that direction, you're looking at life through that lens. I am here to do good to my wife, to do good to my children, not to control and manipulate them, but to help them to grow up into Christ. Real men are men of honor, men of strength, men of bravery, men of virtue. They speak the truth in love. They're courageous. They're willing to die for the truth, and they're willing to die to protect their wives and children. That is a real man. And so we understand also that men are the stronger vessel. That's never not been the case. That's always been true. So when the feminization of culture took place, when women, as Brother Branham showed us in America, women got the vote, this started taking the nation in the wrong direction and results in the wickedness and immorality that we have for today. So when a woman usurp the authority of a man, who has to let her do it? A man. He has to let her do it. So in our society, the men let the women do what they're doing today. And we've reached this place where we have a wicked communist woman who's at the head of the Democrat Party now. And so what is this that's happened? It's men who are weak, men who don't want to speak the truth, men who are unwilling to be brave, to be courageous. They simply have laid down the swords of their strength and allowed the woman to trample over them. It can't be so. You have to know who you are in Christ. You have to take a stand and be a real man of truth, virtue, strength, and bravery. So once the man allowed the woman to get out of her place, then motherhood gets out of its place in the very next breath. As we spoke about before, Brother Branham said the backbone of the nation is the mother, right? Well, then if the mother is the backbone of the nation, what is father? He's the foundation of the nation. That's what everyone else is going to walk upon. What you live, how you live, is going to be the foundation of what your children walk upon in their life. And so when motherhood gets out of its place, manhood's descent into sissified conditions ensues. This modern world of effeminate men, what is it now? We've got skinny jeans and bangs over the forehead, floppy hair in your eyes. I mean, Brother Branham condemned that so clearly, the 1960s version. What about today? It's sissified. It's not young men trying to be real men. It's young men being a bunch of sissy boys, not expressing real manhood. Why? Because they're not allowed to express real manhood, because it's not accepted. Their mothers won't accept it. So what are they going to do? They're going to go play video games, because this is the way. Now I can express my manhood correctly is by doing killing video games. You're not expressing your manhood. That's further sissifying you and turning you into what the prophet called a jellyfish. And that's the age, and that's the condition. Weak, sissified men. And entertainment, of course, portrays man as a bumbling fool. Of course, he's protected and saved over and over again by the wisdom and strength of his wife. He's just sort of along for the ride, right? You see that. The man, wife plans everything, handles the finances, does everything. He's just sort of like, he's another one of the kids. What are we doing next? This is not an expression of real manhood. Amen. Not only that, but we have, as Brother Branham told us, in the food supply, it's been perverted by hybrids, by GMOs, and then also by inserting soy products in almost everything. It's an estrogen, literally turns men into jellyfish. And again, God has a means and a way for young men to learn how to express their manhood. We talked about before, manliness starts with leadership, and it starts with having a vision and a mission and a purpose in your life and working with the audacity to fulfill that. And a real godly woman, that's exactly what she's looking for. She's not looking for someone that's searching for her. She's praying for a godly man that has a vision, that's looking forward, that knows what he wants to accomplish in his life, and that she can come and be his helper in that mission. Remember what we said before. Did God create Adam and say, your mission is Eve? No. Adam came with a pre-existing mission. Take dominion and multiply. Could Adam multiply on his own? He could not. He could take dominion on his own, certainly, but it would be quite a limited dominion. A woman, she can't take dominion on her own. She's a weaker vessel. She struggles with that. But a man can take dominion. A woman, being a weaker vessel, can't do that. But she can. God uses her to multiply. See? So you see, with the very design of creation and the order of creation, we see God completing his picture, right? The woman is designed to be weaker, She's designed to, as Paul said, have a meek and quiet spirit, not a loud, boisterous, overpowering personality, but a meek and quiet spirit. That's by design. It's a nurturing spirit. That's what he's designed her to be, not a leading spirit, but a nurturing spirit. And the man is designed to lead, to direct, to be the head. I just love how uncomfortable the devil gets when I preach this. So we looked at this. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. This is by design. This is God's eternal purpose. God's eternal purpose was that Christ would have a bride. So when he designed Adam and Eve, he designed Adam and Eve to be an expression of that. We take the mind of Christ. Adam had a pre-existing vision given to him by God. That needs to be us. We don't, as men, we don't come with our own vision. That's not manliness. Manliness is doing what Christ did and saying, not my will, Father, your will be done, and then having the audacity to go and do it. You know, we see depictions of Jesus, and they sort of depict him as a little bit of a sissified person. He wasn't a sissified person. He was a real strong man, and he had the audacity to do what God... I mean, he walked into the temple with all the leaders, and he braided whips, and he whipped them, and he shouted them down to not do what they were doing. And if you go through what Jesus said, how much of it is nice and sweet, and how much of it is harsh rebuke? Majority of it is harsh speaking the truth into difficult circumstances and situations. A real man knows how to take the word in love and stand no matter what, without fear of anything. This is the pre-existing mission that God gave to Adam. Genesis 1:26, that God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. All right. So when God gave this commission doesn't end. It doesn't change. The gospel actually in itself is a connection to this mission. It's going to all the world and preach the gospel. What are we doing? We're preaching the gospel to bring them under the dominion of Christ, the Lord and King. And so that's directly connected. But part of that is your garden, your home, your family. You're to take a man is to take dominion over everything, over his family too, right? And he's to multiply. He's to multiply the kingdom through his wife, right? So your home is to be a kingdom multiplier. It's not just where we have kids and raise them to do whatever. We're multiplying the kingdom in our home and in our family. And that's the driving purpose. That's the driving vision of the family, is to do what God said to do and to teach them to do what you're doing. Right? To teach sons to have dominion. To teach daughters to know how to keep a home. To know how to raise a family. To know how to submit to her husband. These are the things, this is the vision that we have. It's not just go to church, enjoy the fellowship, listen to the preaching of the word. I think sometimes we get so rapture-minded that we forget we're supposed to plant potatoes. Even the day before, plant potatoes, get married, have children, raise them to fear God with all your heart. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. You know that this is also your commission, men? No, not the literal Garden of Eden, but you have your own Garden of Eden to dress and keep. And this is what we talked about before. There's a general mission for every man. Amen. Every man. There's no exceptions. And as I said, it's directly connected to the Great Commission that Jesus left with his apostles. That wasn't just for the apostles. That wasn't just for the fivefold ministry. That is for every single believer. And it starts first, not on the missions field, in your house, in your home, with your children. That's why the qualifications of being a minister of the word is actually directly connected to your leadership of your home. You can't take dominion in a greater sense if you can't take dominion over your own home. Spiritual leadership over your own home. So the word dress in Hebrew is abad. It means to work, to serve, to work for another, to serve by labor, to serve as subjects. In other words, God has given you stewardship over the earth. He's given you the charge to take dominion over it. As the prophet called it, you're to be small gods upon the earth. You're to be lords upon the earth, to take dominion, not your own will, not your own purpose, but as stewards, as managers put in place there by God to do it the way he has designed and purposed to do it. So that's to dress. And to keep is shamar, a primitive root, properly to hedge about, that is to guard, generally to protect, to attend to. So there you're to be a guardian. That is directly connected to the work of a husband, to be a guardian. You are the guardian of your wife. You are the guardian of your children. They're under your headship, and you are supposed to be their guard, not just physically. Any person can guard them physically, but there's not just one realm out here. There's not just a physical realm. There's a spiritual realm, and you're to be a guard both spiritually, because there's a demon power that entered into the serpent, right? There's a spiritual power that entered into the serpent to come and destroy man's garden, right? And he perverted the garden, and man let him do it. He knew he wasn't deceived. He knew what was happening, but he went and redeemed his wife. But yet it was his responsibility to be sure that that didn't happen. And because it did, every atom, every quark, every proton, every neutron is under the curse. That's our connected duty. When Adam failed in his duty, everything that belonged to him, what did it do? It entered into the curse. The curse would be the ground for your sake. It wasn't just the ground, it was everything. Everything. Everything was then subject to death. And men, if you fail to be the guardian of your family, everything is subject to death. Just the same, spiritual death. If you surrender the guardianship of your family to your wife, it's a mistake. You can't do that. You must do it. All right. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is not just a little means of, I don't know what happened there. Let's see. This isn't just a nice little thing that's sort of like a, yeah, we should do that. This is integral to your family life. This is actually your stated purpose. It's not a secondary thing. It's not something we could say, well, we got public school here in America. Well, go ahead, send them off to the devil. Send them off to the communists and be surprised that they come back like little communists. That's not our job. That's not our duty. It's our personal duty as parents in the sight of God to train up our children. It's not our duty to send them off somewhere. Now, you might do that. People have gotten tutors. People have done different things through history. Ultimately, it is your job to train them up in the way they should go. Not only a spiritual way that they should go, but a vision for what they should do for work, how they should live their life. You're supposed to show sons how to take responsibility for their homes, for families. You're supposed to direct them and help them understand what they should do for work in their life. Not only that, and then for daughters, you're supposed to point them to what the scripture says of how they should prepare themselves for life, not the way America or Europe does it, or the Middle East or Africa, but the way the word says to do it, what the apostles teach to do it. That's the direction we are to give. Let's look at Abraham. And the Lord said, this is the great time when the Lord and two angels came down in human flesh to meet with Abraham just before the destruction of Sodom. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. Listen, this is his reason. Because I know him, he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So the Lord says, I'm going to reveal my secret mysteries to this man, because he's not going to just keep it to himself. He's going to teach and command his family after him. Amen. And we could see that in our own lives. As we teach and speak of the word to others, the word becomes revealed more and more to us. And I spoke about this last time. It's not for us to merely rely on the ministry of the church to teach our children spiritual things, because we're the ones that are charged with that responsibility. We're not charged to drop them off at Sunday school. I'm all in favor of Sunday school, but there's no verse in the Bible that even speaks about Sunday school. It speaks about fathers. It speaks about dads teaching and training their family. You say, I'm not a teacher. Well, you are charged to teach and command your children. It doesn't matter if you're not a teacher. Start doing it. You'll get better at it. You don't have to be a gifted supernatural teacher to speak in the pulpit, but you can search and find the answers for yourself, and you could pass that on to others. That should be the duty of every father. Yes, get your children to church. Yes, get them to Sunday school. Yes, get them to youth camps. No, don't rely on that as the final story, because I feel like you'll be sorely disappointed in the end, that it won't achieve what you think it's going to achieve. Any of those other things being effective are effective because there's a dad in the home teaching the word, that he's spending time with his children, opening the scriptures, going through the scriptures, showing them the truth of the message. It wouldn't be such a horrible problem of people walking away from the truth if we had more fathers in the home digging deeper in the word themselves and then passing that on to their children. Amen. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to have special devotions. I think we should have that every day, but it should go beyond that. It should just be what we're talking about in the way, when we're waking up, when we're going to sleep, when we're at the table. These things, it should be a passion in our heart as dads. And I guess maybe as I leave the pulpit now, I would say that it should be a passion in the hearts of dads to pass that on to their children. And it should be such a passion that becomes infectious to them, that you have a desire to bring the word to your children, not just doctrine, but the life of the word that goes along with the true doctrine. Bring that to your children so they have an understanding of the order of the home, of the order of the word in our lives, and how we're supposed to live. Digging deeper, that's what all of our jobs are. If you want more revelation, I can tell you the reason why more revelation came to Abraham was because God knew he would command his children after them. So we can pray for more revelation, but we can also do what the Word says and expect that more revelation is going to come. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we just look to you, Lord. We're so thankful for your goodness and mercy and grace. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be with us, teaching us, guiding us, correcting us, Lord. Today, Lord, may we enter into worship with all our hearts. May each one of us get ourselves out of the way so that you can flow through us. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.